spinning. Oh, there we go.
Hey, hi. Ryan.
Maybe it was you.
Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody. Maybe it was me. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm seeing ads and it's kicking on now.
Yeah, it's coming on now. So welcome to our podcast, guys. Of course, this is a Think Computers weekly tech podcast. I hit go live and it just was spinning. You know, I have been having internet problems.
Oh, and you always try and blame it on me. So
it makes no sense because, like, I don't know. It's a lot of times it's like my Wi-Fi, but I mean, I'm directly connected in here, obviously. So I don't know what the deal is. But I don't think it's that. We had that one problem before with the StreamYard where we hit go live and it didn't say that we were live, but then we were live. You know?
Yeah, but it's been a while. I mean, it's been pretty solid.
It has been a while, so I don't know. But yeah, we are
live. Sorry. Well, it's a good thing we are live because we got people like Lord Tautosh out there waiting on us, depending on us.
Yeah, we're here. No, I don't have Cox. He said you probably have Cox.
No, he's talking to me. I said you always make fun of my internet. So
yeah, no, I have AT&T fiber, which is the fastest that you can get in my area. I had the option to get Cox, but I opted for the AT&T, but it might be a browser issue too. You know, like I still can't figure out why Chrome uses so much memory. Like if I'm watching YouTube, it just crushes my memory for some reason.
Well, you just need to download more RAM.
Yeah, download more RAM. But yeah, guys, we have a lot to talk about this week. Of course, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. Lots of cool stuff going on. We did want to jump in and talk about this graphics card, which is the RTX 4060 Twin Edge OC from Zotac. Now, I didn't want to talk about performance because that's all we talked about last week. But I think that if you were going to get an RTX 4060, this would be the one. I just think it looks the best. It actually has some lighting. If you check, we have a video on our YouTube channel about this card, but it actually has some lighting, which a lot of the 4060s don't. It's white, which is going to be awesome in your build. So that's all I really wanted to talk about.
It's got a white backplate too, right?
Yeah, full cover and it's metal too. So a lot of the other companies will have a full cover backplate, but it's like plastic. This is actually metal. Zotac did a really good job on this. Again, we talked about it last week. We weren't given much with the 4060 as far as performance gains and other things. And again, we're not going to go into that because I feel like that would just make this podcast extremely long. But if you want to check out this review, we do have, of course, our YouTube video and we have the full written review on the website. But I was really impressed because as you continue to go down the product stack with the RTX 40 series card, you know, companies aren't putting as much time and effort into these cards just because they're
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And I think Zotac did a really good job to make themselves stand out compared to other companies in the 40 series. So Tautosh says, is it $200? Because if it's more than $200, we went over the pricing and we talked about how Ryan said it perfectly, a $300 card, which shouldn't be $300 for the 4060. But like I said, there are some people who do want to upgrade, and that's the kind of the upgrade path that they wanted to go to. So I think that if you're looking, I did like the Asus card as well. I didn't really look at a ton, but again, as you go down the products, they get a little boring, and that Asus card doesn't have any lighting on it either. So this card's
going to look good. Its design work reminded me of some EVGA cards, to be honest.
It did. So do you ever think we'll have EVGA
cards? I hope, man. I don't know.
I think that their CEO was really, really upset with NVIDIA. So maybe if he would possibly move on, right? In the future, you would have EVGA come back. I get why
they're done being bullied around.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this when it happened. It would be cool. It'd be a cool comeback story. I think, like, obviously, I don't think it would ever happen for the 50 series, maybe the series or whatever it may be. So yeah, but anyways, that's kind of what that's all I really wanted to talk about with this card. Cause again, we covered a lot of the performance and everything that you would get with the 4060 last week. But we'll jump into, Ryan's review. I don't know if you want to bring it up on your screen, Ryan. Your review?
Yes, my review.
You took a look at a very cool AIO. While you bring it up, I'm actually going to run and get a drink because I totally forgot to get. I'm like, lose it. We don't start good. You know, everything's just a mess. So I'm going to go grab a drink really quick, and you can tell everybody about the AIO that you took a look at.
All right, sounds fine. Yeah, so I took a look at Cooler Master's Master Liquid 360L Core ARGB White. So like with all these coolers recently, they have these names that are like 150 characters long. As the name implies, this is like their core series of coolers. So it's kind of, no, I don't want to say dumbed down, but just doesn't have some of the features and design features that some of their other lines have that we've looked at, like the Flux that I looked at previously. And so that kind of had me a little bit worried, because when I pulled this thing out, I was like, oh, the tubes on it are kind of thin, and the fans appear to have lesser specifications than fans included on previous Cooler Master units. And just, you know, the design aspect, I was like, okay, this is more of the entry level AIO cooler. And we'll get to performance here in a minute, which was actually better than I had expected, which turns out to be great. But yeah, so it comes with, you know, all the mounting gear for everything that's essentially a current cooler from Intel or AMD. Bob got his monster there. We have a theme of white so far. You had the white Zotac card. I got the white version of the 360L Core, which also comes in black. And then you just popped up your monster drink, which comes in a white can.
So, yeah, it's the white monster. It's the best one.
I don't know. We'll see. Anyhow, 360 millimeter design on this one, as the name implies, the 360L. And the nice thing about it is that whole radiator is white. So, you know, your outer frame, the end caps, the fins, everything there is white, and looks really nice. And it doesn't look like there's like paint coated on it, you know, caked on or anything. It's nice and smooth. Everything looks nice and is done well. They've got a little bit of Cooler Master branding on the side of it.
How thick's the radiator?
It is 27 millimeters.
That's kind of like this
0.2, I believe.
That's kind of like the standard, right?
Yeah, it's definitely been Cooler Master's standard as well. Because I went back and looked at some of the previous reviews as well, and it was pretty much the exact same thickness on the radiator. So, you know, that's one thing where they're able to utilize the same radiator for the most part for their coolers. But one thing, like I mentioned a bit ago, was the tubing on this one is a lot thinner than some of the other Master Liquid units that I've taken a look at. And so I was a little concerned about that. And the lume on there is covered in white as well, which looks really nice. But it was kind of odd that the heat shrink over the couplings here from the radiator to the tubing was like a gray color. It doesn't look bad by any means, but it wasn't white. You know, whether they couldn't like find a white heat shrink that looked just right to fit there, so they went with a different color, so it kind of, you know, throws it off a bit, but it still looks fine. And then you've got this, like I said, kind of a toned down look of their cooler. It's a black and white plastic design. There's not like a big RGB ring on this or anything like that, but there is a multi-zoned RGB lighting logo in the center there, which is nice. So it's not totally void of any lighting. It's just not as flashy as some of their higher end coolers that they've got out there. Yeah, that's just another look at it there. Got some Master Liquid branding on it as well. And then it has their standard like dual chamber design that they've used for quite a while. They've obviously upgraded it over the years, but they just utilize that two chamber design to kind of separate the hot exhaust, I don't want to, you know, output of liquid, and then the incoming cooler liquid that's coming from the radiator. So that's how they kind of separate some of those water temperatures there. The base plate, I was a little like underwhelmed by, because it just had a lot of like machining and almost scuffs to it, right? You couldn't feel it with your finger or anything, but it just wasn't. And not to say that all coolers have to have like a mirrored polished base, like that's not what I'm saying by any means. And there, you know, things can be said for both a mirrored and a, you know, a almost textured design. It just doesn't look like it's new when you peel that sticker off and you're like, ah, this kind of has some like, just, I don't know, handling looks to it. I don't by any means think that this was, you know, a used unit or anything like that. It just, I don't know, throws you off a little bit. But they did have their ARGB fans included with this, three of them, obviously. And a nice thing is they include the rubber dampeners at the corners. I was a little worried that this kit was going to come with fans without the rubber dampeners on the corners. And thankfully, that's kind of just become a standard, I think, in most fan manufacturers' designs, having those rubber pads at the corners to reduce vibration and things like that, especially against that radiator. When you've got three of them going there, they can kind of get into a rhythm sometimes and create a buzz or hum. But this is a PWM fan and has your standard 3-pin ARGB lighting connector. There is no lighting controller included with this. So that's another one of those budget pieces where in some other previous Cooler Master units, they've included a simple controller, but one that works along with their software. There's no controller included, so you either have to grab a Cooler Master controller, or if you have another one that works with this, or a compatible motherboard for your lighting.
I think with the, now we're, you know, I don't know how many generations into motherboards with it, I can see a lot of companies going that route, right? Because when you come to the end, obviously we'll get into the price, but that saves a little bit of money, not including that controller. And I think, I mean, the last five or six generations have the headers on the board, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and you know, my board that I'm using is the original Crosshair, what's a Hero 5, whatever it was, the original entry level or initial entry for Ryzen, and it has a 4-pin RGB lighting connector that Asus used at the time, so it's not compatible. Yeah, so I had to use another controller for this. Tautos was asking about the pump for it. He said it looks kind of dinky. It's not terrible. It's about the same size as their other pumps.
It looks pretty standard.
It's really not too small, to be honest. Now, like the Deep Cool one that I looked at a while back, it's pretty tall. But like compared to a Corsair cooler or like the EK one that I looked at might be a little bigger than this. But it's standard size.
Nice.
Installation's easy. The thing that we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago when we were saying, hey, this is coming up, I think we mentioned the fact that Cooler Master utilizes these thumb screws for...
They're one of the few companies that do. And it's I don't understand why. More, if you want to bring up that picture big,
yeah,
so everybody absolutely can see. But yeah, having thumb screws for the fans is just makes it so easy
to put up. Like, I didn't have to use it. Okay, I take that back. I did use a screwdriver to mount the radiator to the top of the case, because those screws aren't thumb screws. But other than that, I didn't have to use any tools. Okay, I take that back again. I had to put the AM4 mounting hardware onto the pump housing as well. But yeah, the fact that some of this is toolless designed is nice.
And they and we did talk about it last week too, but I mean, Cooler Master has been doing that for 5-6 years now. Yeah. They were one of the first to adopt it. I mean, obviously those screws cost more than your normal screws. Yep. But again, for a lot of people in AI, like it's their first time doing an AIO, right? And just to make that process just a little bit easier goes a long way, I think. So it's cool to see that for sure.
Yeah. So can it work as a push pull, or is it one sided only? I mean, you could put fans on the other side.
You know, that's how most radiators are. You just have to buy the fans
to set it up. Yeah. Or if you wanted to do just pull or push, right? Just adjust the orientation.
And then fans,
it does have room to put them on.
All of the fans, both the power and RGB, is all daisy chained?
They are not daisy chained, no. So there's no daisy chain, but they do include like a splitter, a five-way splitter with this unit for the ARGB connectivity. So I wish they were daisy chained, but again, that's one of those price pieces, I think.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't, like, now that we have it, it almost makes sense to go to daisy chaining because you have less cabling and, you know what I mean? Less loom to put on cables, things like that. I think it's probably just something they haven't gotten to on this model.
Yeah.
But it goes in super easy, like I said, toolless design. So you just kind of use these threaded connectors to clip over the AM4 mounting hardware on the motherboard and tighten it up with your thumbs, and you are good to go.
It is. It's also nice that you don't have to remove the AM4 or AM5 mounting bracket.
I actually had to put mine back on because the previous one I had on my test board, and I was like, I think I remember where I put these. Thankfully, they were
For a lot of people too, removing that, depending on the case you have and what it may be, that can be removing the entire motherboard, which is a whole thing in and of itself, especially if you're doing this on an upgrade. So it is nice to see that you don't have to remove your AM4, AM5 mounting.
Well, then trying to hold it there in place while you're getting the screws to go into it. Yeah, it can be a whole ordeal.
Yeah,
for sure. So we've pitted it up against, you know, over time, a large number of coolers. And at idle, it kind of hits right in the middle there. And I realized today when I was looking at this, just kind of reviewing it, that I need to adjust my legends here, because it shows we have three Cooler Master liquids and you can't tell which one it is other than the highlighted. So I have to adjust this.
Gotta fix it. Yeah,
gotta fix this at some point. But yeah, idle temperature is just sitting, you know, at the Windows desktop, idling around at 29 degrees Celsius on our 1800X. And then under load, really coming in pretty nicely, right?
Yeah.
Tied for third place on the charts here. So really nice performance out of a unit that I wasn't expecting that. Again, the fans that come with it don't have as much static pressure as previous models of Cooler Master coolers and some of the other units that we've reviewed. So I was kind of like, oh man, they didn't use an ideal fan for the radiator size and the fin separation and fins per inches, but it turned out to be quite well. So I was pretty impressed with the performance on this unit. Like I said, doesn't come with a lighting controller, so I've got it hooked up to another one. And it looked pretty nice. I liked, they're just your standard center lit digital ARGB fans. I thought it looked pretty nice. So.
Yeah, I think the thing with this is, I mean, obviously the performance is really good, but I think Cooler Master did a really good job on pricing this too.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the price on the 360?
So right now it's available for $104.81. It's on sale. It's usually $119, I believe.
That's still a really good price. You're getting three ARGB fans, even like I said, you don't get the controller, but and again, it's not as polished as some of the other units that click together. And some of the other things, and there's no screen on it or
There's no software, right? The pump is also not PWM, it's just a 3-pin.
Okay.
So you can still adjust its speed, but it's not a PWM connection there. And like I said in my conclusion, you know, winding things down, I said, you know, think with regards to Chevy Cavalier, not Chevy Corvette, right? Like it's still a decent product, but like you need to think this way as opposed to that. So design wise, I gave it an 8 out of 10. It's got a very impressive performance to cost ratio. It's got the ARGB lighting, especially with those three fans that really look pretty good. The white components really show that off. We always talk about that, right? In these white builds that we show off either when we're reviewing components that are white or when we show off like a Case Mod Friday build that's got white, it just really shows off that lighting better than black components do. So that looks really nice. Easy installation. The only, real misses were that no controller is included and that stiff tubing, which felt a little short as well. It was just a little more difficult to maneuver around in the case, but really once you've got it set in there, you're not moving the tubing around by any means. So it's just some minor items there.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I think they kill it on the price. Black version, white version, depending on how you want to do your build. And it looks good. I do like the styling on the pump.
Yeah.
It's just, kind of just something that looks a little newer. And yeah, it's like, remember when AIOs first started coming out and we had the ones with software and we had the ones with like LED fans, and those were the more expensive ones, right?
Yep, yep.
And this is sort of, and then we had the plain ones with the black fans, no software. This is sort of like that, but years later, where the really expensive ones have screens and software. This one, you're just getting your normal, you know, just ARGB, no real control, minus what your motherboard can do. No software, no screen, but it's affordable. I like it. Because again, not everybody wants all that stuff. They just want something that's going to get the job done and it's going to look pretty cool, but it doesn't need to be in your face and all that kind of stuff. So
I think my first all-in-one cooler was a Cooler Master. Way back in the day, they had a black pump housing and it just had like a blue light in it. And it wasn't even like uniform lighting.
Yeah, I remember.
We've come a long way.
Yeah, we've definitely come a long way. So really cool. That's awesome. I was kind of excited to see how this would do since it was their newer AIO. So check out that review. Good job there from Ryan on that one. I reviewed a product that Ryan bought, which is, we talked about this last week, which... We were working with this company. They sent me a microphone kit that worked with my iPhone, which was perfect because we got it right before CES and we used it at CES and it was perfect running gun microphone setup. And then I didn't think, you know, we did the review and then I think because of that review, Ryan bought the version that's made for like a camera because he asked me, you know, how's the quality and all that kind of stuff. And then like, maybe a month after Ryan bought it, the company is like, do you want to review the one that's made for the camera? And I was like, yeah, sure. I was like, it sucks because could have saved Ryan some money. So this is from Hollyland. And I'll show you. What's really cool about this. I'll make myself.
Hey, that looks like mine.
Oh, yeah.
That's all good.
Yeah. But yeah, Ryan has one too. Yeah. So this is the Hollyland Lark M1. There we go. So it comes in this hard style case, which is really cool. You get a lot of these things, and I have ones from DJI, and they don't. This having this hard style case is just awesome for travel. But more or less, you get this thing, which basically is the charging case for the microphone. So when you open this up, you get. Two microphones, and then you get the receiver, and they're very small. So I'll bring out the receiver first. And the receiver, of course, is just made to go on your camera. And there is a little port on the side for the cable that is included. So you get two different types of cables. But, you know, you get the cable here that you connect to the receiver, and then it goes right into your camera, which I'll show you. And then you connect that up to your camera, and then you get the microphones, which are very small, and you know they attach, you know, you'd go like that sort of, and you're on there and you're mic'd up and you're ready to do your interview or whatever it may be. These are super cool, and the best thing about this, and we definitely tested this at CES, and I'm sure Ryan, you've made a bunch of videos with these as well, is that as soon as you take them out of the charging case, they pair. You don't have to do anything else. And I think that's the best thing about these, is that you don't have to mess with turning one on, turning the other one on, making sure they pair, or, you know, as soon as you open the charging case, they turn on and they pair, which is awesome. I'll show you what the receiver looks like on my camera. Which you can see, you know, it attaches to the cold shoe that I have right here. And then that goes down into the microphone port on my camera. So I'm ready to go. I'm ready to shoot, which is pretty cool there. And then you can see, you know, that's how the microphone attaches and you're good to go, which again is very cool there as well. So, it's just a super, super simple and super easy like thing. And I think DJI was like the company that really brought this to the forefront with their original microphone kit that I have, but it only had a single microphone. And the fact that all these new ones come with two microphones, which allows you to do interviews, run and gun interviews on the go. We did those at CES with the iPhone version. it's really awesome. And another cool thing about these is, you know, like I said, you do get the charging case, and the charging case not only charges, but it has a battery in it as well. So say I'm out on a shoot, I don't have something that's going to charge this. I just put them back in here and they start to charge, which is really cool as well. But even if you don't, you run out of battery in the charging case, and you forget the charging case, or for some reason you lose the charging case, the microphones as well as the receiver all have a Type-C, so you can charge them independently as well, which is really cool there. But they do sound really good. I have audio samples from this microphone kit as well as the Rode Wireless Go, which is the first one that made these kind of really popular, because I've already had it. And then just like a microphone that's on the camera to give you an idea of the quality and what you're going to get. But I think, I mean, Ryan, you've had yours for quite a while. Yeah. How has it helped you, or how has it helped your recording process?
Yeah. So in a couple of ways, like, I like the visual indicators, because I was previously using just a wired mic with like a super long cable and clipping it on, but like there's no indicator, and it has a little battery in it because you can switch between using it with a phone or a camera, and sometimes I would forget to turn it on or off. With this, it's like got a light on it. It's got a light on the receiver as well, so that indicator is nice. And again, the wireless is so much better than stuck to that cable, and I've got it, you know, run up my shirt and in here, and I've got, yeah, you know, 20 feet of cable, and I really only need it to be 5 feet. And
we used to do CES stuff with a lav mic in a long cable.
I remember that. I've had to wind it up before.
That's the whole reason I bought the Rode one initially, is going from a wired lav setup to something like this. It just eliminates all of the cables. You know what I mean?
And, you know, it also allows me to, like, do B-roll a little easier with, like, if I want to add audio to the B-roll, like, I'll just leave that thing on and record it and just not use the video, instead of switching over to, like, this mic and recording. Because then I don't have that difference in audio quality and sound between the two that can kind of be jarring sometimes. Yeah. I don't think that they sound quite as good as like a dedicated microphone like this, if you're, you know, real close to it and sounding good, but it does sound a hell of a lot better than
in-camera
microphone.
Yeah, they sound really good as well. The only issue that I see sometimes with these is if you put one on, and I'll try to demonstrate this.
Did you have this where it got your neck and sounded really weird?
Well, if you like bend over, these kind of like
they'll flip. Yep,
they'll flip. And the solution is you put it on kind of sideways, and it won't do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like that type of thing. That's one thing I noticed. And then another thing I did notice with these in the iPhone one as well is that on my Rode one, which I should have got out because I have it, but on the actual microphones, there's no port to do like if you wanted to do a lav, because I'm a YouTuber, we create videos, is that if somebody has one of these on, it is distracting. I think there's some people that would probably duct tape that LED right there.
That's why I would just wear mine backwards.
Yeah, you can do that inside as well. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I do wish that the mics had the little wired port on them, even if it was only on one of them, right? They didn't want to build it into both of them.
Yeah,
so that you could attach that microphone.
Because what I do with Think Computers is like most of our YouTube videos. So if you guys watch any of our non-podcast videos on our channel, is that I have I have my Rode Wireless Go, and then I have a lav mic that I actually tape like right here. So it's under my shirt, so it's not like, you know, and there's no way of it getting messed up because it's like taped to my body. That's the only thing that I feel like is missing from these, but everything else. And Ryan, you'll be like, the price of these now is so cheap. I think it's $116 for these now.
$116,
at least last time I checked, man. When I wrote the review. Let's see.
What did I
pay from? They're $116 right now, which is an excellent deal. So if you're a content creator, YouTuber, wanting to get better audio and easier to set up. I think for a lot of people, again, when we're at CES, when we're in different things, we don't want to have to like set up mics and do everything. And when, even when you're doing interviews, the person that you're interviewing can just be like, hey, you know, you can talk to them, you know, they can just hold one of these that you don't even have to put it on them. They can just talk into it like this. It's a, these are really, really cool. And I'm, again, with the amount of, you know, stuff that you get cables for, you know, a normal camera, you get cable for a phone that has a microphone ports. They also sell, type C, adapter and a lightning adapter. So you can use this with phones as well. So for $116, I mean, that's pretty, pretty awesome.
I paid $150 for mine, which I think was still a great deal.
Yeah. Still a good deal, for what you're getting. I think there's a lot of these out there now. So, but I do have to say they do sound really good. Check out the audio samples in the review if you're interested. I know this isn't specifically PC hardware, but I think it helps, like it definitely helps our process here as far as creating content. And I think a lot of people in this space are kind of doing the same type of thing. So yeah, so check out the review. Like I said, it's really cool. I like these, and you know, this is so small too. It's like something you can easily throw in a backpack or a laptop bag. You know,
I wish the lids stayed closed a little easier. I found that if I do have that in the bag and I don't have it in the carrying case, okay, it can flap open. But
gotcha. Well, like I said, I think yeah, Ryan has one. I have one now, so we'll have matching ones at CES, I guess. You know. Which is pretty cool. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. We'll move on to that from that to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a really cool build. It's kind of out there. It's a little different. So this one is called Kratos, and it's from the guys over at Liquid House, and that's HAUS. And this is done in the Cougar Kratos, which we've seen a couple builds in this before. And this one is kind of themed after the ASRock Z790 Live Mixer motherboard. And with the, you know, they have the tubing, but it has the sleeving and there's some like
carbon fiber.
Yeah, carbon fiber, different, you know, a mix of a ton of different things on this. Crazy colors. You know, it's just, it's kind of all over the place, but I think it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You're not a fan?
It's fine. I mean, it looks all right. Like it's,
this is, I've never seen this. Do you see this?
Yeah.
It's like I wouldn't call it a red.
I have seen that,
but it's like a fan grill. There's a pump in there.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty cool. I just think the EK in the center was the fan. And then this is just a, because it has a Liquid House logo, or yeah, it has a Liquid House logo, which means you think they made it themselves. But it's really cool. It's like a fan grill that moves your liquid around, which I think is super cool. Taltosh says it's just cables. And then you have these like little, what would you call these, Ryan? These like,
I mean, they're like, if you, it's like the next level of, instead of soft tubing or hard tubing, it's
acrylic tubing,
acrylic distribution, what you would make a distribution plate out of, but just like a transport for liquid. Yeah. That's made out of acrylic, which is cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's just different. It just adds, and again, there's a lot of builders, and I know who's the one guy, Mods by Ben Q, he's really big on like a lot of cables and a lot of cables and tubing like all over the place in a build. If you execute it well, it does look good. I think it does look good with the different colors in this, and again, keeping to that sort of like graffiti style live mixer deals, I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I don't mind it. I think it looks good.
Would you ever do a build with something like, if you got these made, or
Maybe.
I think they're cool.
It won't be my next build, but yeah. No, yeah. I think they look cool.
It might save you some space if you know you're trying to go smaller, so.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, in any case, check this one out. I like it. It's from Liquid House. We have all of their stuff linked in the article if you want to check it out. But I think it's pretty cool. So, like I said, it's definitely out there. That's why I chose it for this week, because it's not the typical build, I would say, that we feature. But I did like it. So definitely go ahead and check that out. We'll move on from there to our news this week. And a pretty, like, I wasn't expecting this, one. And two, I didn't expect Micro Center to get the exclusive on this, which is really crazy. So when there was no Ryzen 5 5600 X3D ever announced, right? And again, we're on Ryzen 7, we're on the next generation. We're on the Ryzen 7000. So there's and it's interesting that we're getting it now. And I think I know why. And I guess this is, I think this is a win-win for both AMD and Micro Center, like this whole deal, but I don't think it's as big of a deal as a lot of people are making it out to be. I think that, one, it's cool that Micro Center gets the exclusive, right? And instead of like a Best Buy.
But there's not a Micro Center everywhere. That's true. What I mean? Like, there's a Best Buy pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that it's not made clear if you can order these online or not.
They usually don't do much product shipping online. There's some things that they'll sell online.
CPUs.
Right.
But the thing that I think is what's interesting and why we're seeing a Ryzen 5 5600 X3D now, not when the Ryzen 5000 X3D parts launched, 2 years ago, a year ago, is because I'm pretty sure these are just Ryzen 5 5800 X3Ds where they weren't up to par. They didn't, you know what I mean? Like,
Ryzen 7 5800X3D.
Sorry. Ryzen 7 5800X3Ds, where some of the cores wouldn't boost correctly, so they just disable the cores, right? So this is actually a 6-core 12-thread processor, base clock of 3.3 gigahertz. It's going to boost to 4.4 gigahertz. So I think maybe AMD had a bunch of these, right? And they somehow got together with Micro Center and it's like, hey, let's release this.
I think Micro Center does make sense because, like we said, there's Best Buys everywhere. Well, this is more of a niche type of CPU, in my opinion, right? Like, you're targeting this after a certain person. And so having it being sold by a company that specializes in computer building components, right? It kind of makes sense there, I think.
And the interesting thing is it's only $50 cheaper than the Ryzen 7 5800 X3D, which is selling. Yeah, this is going to be $229. That's $279. So, I mean, $50, you can see where, $50 can take you a bunch of different places in different areas. Right. Bigger SSD, going from a 2.5-inch SSD to an NVMe drive, going from probably 32 gig to 64 gig of RAM. I mean, there's... That $50 can go places, right? But I wouldn't you just want the 5800 X3D?
Yeah, I would. Well, I mean, maybe. When is it available?
I think it's already available.
It's already available. But I didn't look to see if there any reviews on it or anything yet.
It's only limited edition, only available through them. They have a pre-built with it in it, and then they have a combo deal, which will give you the 5600X3D, ASUS B550 TUF gaming motherboard, 16 gigs of G-Scale Ripjaws 5 DDR4 for $329.
Yeah, so for $100, you get
get
well on your way towards building a new machine.
Yeah, so I like the combo bundle for sure. It just makes things simple for a lot of people. Then you just got to buy a graphics card, SSD, power supply, case. Yeah. Yeah. So I was excited when I first heard about it. Then I was like,
It's kind of one of those products, though, that right now you're like, well, if someone's wanting to build something new or do an upgrade and they've got a motherboard that this thing's compatible with and they don't want to make that jump to next gen, this might be,
Yeah.
the right product to go with.
Or, I mean, again, when we've talked about this, and we don't have performance on this part, obviously, but,
right.
you know, the X3D parts are specifically made for gaming. You have somebody who's solely a gamer, you know, and maybe they were on first-gen Ryzen, right? This would be a good upgrade for first-gen Ryzen. We even when we reviewed our Ryzen 5000 series products, when we even compared to the Ryzen 3000 series stuff, I mean, just the performance uplift just in those, the non-X3D parts that you got in gaming. And, you know, so I think this would be a nice little upgrade. And again, it's not incredibly expensive. I think if it was me, I'd save the $50 and get the 5800 X3D. That's what you have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like I said, cool. It's good to see Micro Center get some, get some press and some love. Yeah. So, so cool to see that. If anybody gets one, let us know. It was not clear in their press release if you could order it online, if you had to get it in store, or if you could reserve it online and then go in and get it. Like, you know, a lot of people like rules. A lot of times Micro Center has really good CPU deals, especially during like the chip shortage. They had chips and they had them at like normal price and you could reserve it. And a lot of people would drive like 3-4 hours to go to like a Micro Center to get them.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. It wasn't made clear. So we'll keep you guys updated on that if we find out any more. Two new blower graphics cards were announced, which these just make me laugh.
I mean, I feel like there's at least one every generation, right?
Yeah. So first MSI, and this is a 4090. This is their AeroS with a blower. I just think it's going to be like...
Throwing it back to those old school NVIDIA cards that, were so loud.
It's going to be so, so loud. So this is their RTX 4090 AeroS, which, again, it just looks loud. Like, looking at it, I'm like, this is going to be loud. And then on top of that, PNY has a 4070 blower, which doesn't look as thick, but still...
Still gonna be loud.
It's still gonna be loud. I don't know.
I mean, you know, you put this in some sort of workstation class,
yeah,
system, and shove it under a desk, and
yeah, I just
because a lot of those cases, you know what I mean? Like, it might be going into like a Dell case or some HP workstation, and you know, as an upgrade to what they may have in there already, and it just doesn't have the ventilation and airflow that you might have in, you know, a standard gaming type case. So they need a way to get that air out of the case without heating everything else up. And that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. So two new blowers, maybe one generation, we won't ever see a blower graphics card again. Who knows? Taltesh in the chat, he said, I just looked in the only 5600 X3D listed at my local Micro Center is the 229 standalone one. So, I guess, like I said, we'll see. I think the closest Micro Center to me is like up by LA, but it's not necessarily close.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Mine's a 2.5 hour drive.
Yeah. I mean, that would be like the same, like around the same.
I'll just have Taltosh get something in.
Yeah. Well, looks like Sparkle is back in the graphics card game. We talked about this, that they would possibly be coming out with Intel Arc graphics cards. They have officially announced them. They're back. Did you ever own a Sparkle graphics card?
I've never owned a Sparkle product, no.
Yeah, me neither. At least I don't think. But they're back with Intel Arc cards. You can see them here. So the A750, the A380, they have their larger...
I like their naming. It just Titan, like, makes sense. Titan's the big one, the orc, and then the little elf.
Yeah, it does make sense. It's very easy. I do like how they're putting the logo. It's hard to see here, but they have the Sparkle logo in the IO shield, which is cool. And I don't think these look bad. I mean, they're Intel Arc cards. The Titan does come with the a little VGA holder.
Nice little aluminum holder. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so you get
I like that. The side view, though, and the lighting.
Oh yeah, so on the Titan card,
I think that looks nice.
It will have this little lighting bar. It's not clear if you can like change this
to do something. It adjusts with the temperature.
Yeah, I know that. But obviously, what I mean is like if there's like another
custom.
Yeah, if there's something else, but
I like the blue power connectors too. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
Yeah, man, what are you doing? I don't think these are actually blue, but
they might be. Really?
I think
would be cool if they were.
Yeah. But any case, you have this little lighting bar that's going to adjust based on the temperature of the graphics card, which is cool.
Not cooler if they were.
Yeah. Taltosh says the closest Micro Center to me is Inland Empire. That's far. So yeah. But yeah, it's cool to see them come back. I think a lot of people, a lot of companies like Intel, I think, is making this process for partners pretty easy, and it's a less expensive way to get back into the space. I don't know, and again, this is just me speculating, but I think with Nvidia as well as AMD, you know, if you're a GPU manufacturer, if you're a graphics card manufacturer, like you have to buy a certain amount of GPUs from them, and there's all these certain things and whatever.
They're making it more, you know, more flexible. Like, hey, we're only going to require you to like, you can sign on for a 1 year subscription or like a one model release subscription, right? You want to do this first version of art cards? Great. You don't have to sign up for the next one, but you know, we'll let you type of thing. Who knows? Maybe they'll be more flexible with
that. Or like, you know, instead of a 50,000 unit minimum, you know, it's 10,000 units. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or something along those lines. So again, that's just me. I don't know how any of that works, but that's cool. It's cool to see. It's cool to see a company that, at least for me growing up, was like not a massive player, but a pretty big player in the GPU space, come back. Right. So again, it gives us hope for EVG in the future, you know? Talking about we have a lot of graphics card news. The Asus ROG Matrix, the RTX 4090, it set the highest overclocking record when it comes to GPU frequency at 3.94 gigahertz. That is fast.
Smoking.
Of course, this would be the card that does it. Comes with the integrated AIO, has some of the best components on it as well. You can see all those screenshots. And this was done by, who is the, why can't I find it? I had it in my head earlier, and then I totally forgot who it was. Splave. Yeah, he's done a bunch of overclocking records. Cool to see that with a,
I'd love to see this card in person.
Yeah, in the enthusiast space, this is going to be like one of the cards to have for certain people. Although I do feel that like the integrated AIO, a lot of people want this card, and it, you know, just has the connectors, right? You don't want any of the other stuff. But again, the pump is right here, so you could. I mean, you know what I mean? Like it's the pump is part of the AIO, right. So yeah, it wouldn't be like a normal thing. Maybe they will make one that just has a block on it or something, right?
I love the design of this.
Yeah, really, really.
But good, that's pretty cool. They can, overclock the thing like that.
Yeah. So check that out. Now this was really cool. I think this is awesome. So the RTX 4060 series cards, they use X8. They connect, X8 connection on the PCI Express slot. But most of us, the one graphics card slot that we do use is a X16 slot, and it's a fully electrical X16 slot, which means when we put a card that has an X8 electrical connector in there, we're basically throwing away 8 lanes, right?
Yeah.
So Asus was like, let's make some use of those lanes. So they came out with this graphics card that has a built-in M.2 slot on it, which makes use of those lanes. Pretty cool.
That's not a bad idea.
I mean, you're just throwing away the lanes anyways.
Right.
For the most part.
Might as well throw a card in there, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this was shown off by somebody that works for Asus. This is a project that they were working on, and you can see kind of how the card, or how, you know, it goes. And, you know, but I do think, again, as you go down that product stack, you lose, you know, again, they're not fully making use of the connector. It makes sense. I think it's like, cool.
And they've already, Asus has already made cards, add-in cards, M.2 cards for this. So they've already got some experience throwing storage into an add-in card.
Yeah.
In a PCI slot. So.
And you can see the, you know, this is a Gen 4 drive. So, yeah, it's the, you know, so I think it's cool. I mean.
Got the waifu version of the software running there.
Yeah. Yeah, this was from Asus Japan or somebody in Taiwan. But yeah, if I'm somebody who's looking for a graphics card in this thing, and Asus is the only one that comes with the M.2, maybe it's $10 more expensive, gives me more storage on my system.
Yep.
I think the only thing you really have to worry about is heat, especially when it comes to certain SSDs, right?
Or you throw this into like a small form factor build where you've got a motherboard that maybe only has one or two slots.
Yeah.
And now you've got another one on there for storage.
I like that idea a lot. Maybe this is something that we'll see in the future, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, really cool.
I kind of laughed at it the first time I saw it. I was like, what? And then I was like, okay, like it kind of makes sense.
It makes sense because you're not throwing
hardware away.
Yeah, you're not using the lanes that the port's going to give you on any motherboard. That for unless I'm pretty sure all the first slot is X16
by 16. Yeah,
yeah, electrical. Even on the lower end chipsets, I believe.
Yeah.
Now, if you're adding more cards, obviously you cut that in half, right? If you have a second card, it's going to be X. You know, they're both going to be X8, but. Most of the time, you're not adding in a second card for most people. Typically, that would have been a sound card. The sound's pretty good on most motherboards and, you know, or a capture card sometimes. And a lot of people are using other slots for M.2 storage these days, too. So yeah, I like it. I think it's cool. So we'll see if that actually becomes a real product that you can buy. It would be cool to see that for sure. And then NVIDIA is working on an updated power connector because, you know, we had a melt in Firegate and all of those things. Yeah. So the new updated power connector is going to be the 12V2X6 instead of the 12VPHWR. So and here's some things of the, you know, what it's going to look like. Very much the same, but it is going to, the specifications are a little bit different, using some different things to make sure things are securely in there and that you have so you don't have the issues that we had on the previous one. So we'll go ahead and see how that kind of
they need to screw in. Instead of clicking in, you just got to screw in so it can't not be, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I could just see Ryan, you know, like on the old and on the VGA connector, the two things on the sides. The
blue things, yes.
Yeah. And then like you have some company that comes out with a cheap one that are like real,
they snap off. Oh, yeah.
They're like real plasticky. And then like for some reason, graphics cards get so, like they didn't make it out of like good plastic. It's like really cheap plastic. And then it just like starts to melt.
Belts, deforms over time.
Yeah, so. And
pretty much
when your power connector is just
do something similar to that, right? Like something that's got some, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so that's gonna be coming out. We'll keep you updated on if NVIDIA's gonna use it with this I assume, you know, they'll have like a new run of cards, you know, 4090, 4080. That use the new connector when they finally make it approve it. I assume they're going to try to get it out before the next, you know, generation of cards. Somebody modded their ROG Ally to to support a 4 terabyte SSD, which is awesome. 4 terabyte M.2. Basically, when you open it up, there's only a certain amount of space for some storage, so you have to just cut it down a little bit.
Some plastic, jeez.
Yeah, cut down some plastic a little bit to make a larger drive fit. Because here's the drive right here. It's kind of hard to see in these pictures, but this is the drive, and it needs to be a little bit bigger to fit in here. So they did that. They got a 4 terabyte drive. You can see 3,725 gigs. And they tested it and it worked. So that was one of the things when this was first announced. Same thing with the Steam Deck. I was like, I want to see the mods. I want to see what people can really do with this thing. You know what I mean? And this is one of the first ones that we've seen. And this one's a useful one because I think it comes with, what does it come with? 256 gig or 512 gig, which isn't a lot.
No, it's not a ton.
Especially if you're playing certain games and things that take up a lot of space. And if you are using this as like your all around machine per se, you're going to have a lot of different things on there, not just games. So 4 terabyte. That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, really, really cool. So even that's what's really cool about these devices too. And even the Steam Deck, it's like it is an actual PC. It's not something that has its own sort of coding where you can't add things. Not everything's
just soldered on, right?
Yeah. That too. So that's really cool to see. So we have the link to the Reddit that shows them how he did it and everything. So go ahead and check that out. And then also on the mobile console type thing, I think these are super cool. And I remember when Game Boy had these. They had the Game Boy version that was see-through. I thought that was, at the time I was like, oh, that's super cool. So a company came out with transparent front and back covers for the Steam Deck, which I think is super cool. So, here's the front piece. Of course, you have to do this all yourself. It comes with everything that you need to do it. But you can make the front transparent, and then you can obviously make the back transparent, which I think looks super cool as well. It's really cool. I remember I had a transparent Game Boy, and I thought I was the coolest person ever.
I don't know I ever had any transparent electronics.
And I think I might have had the transparent Xbox.
The original one?
Yeah, the original one. I think I did as well. But it's always cool to see your hardware in there and just make it look different than the norm.
I mean, I enjoyed the OnePlus, or I'm sorry, the Nothing Phone. Right, that came out a while back, and then I saw a preview for the Nothing Phone 2 today by Marquez, and it looks cool.
Taltesh says he has a transparent purple Game Boy. I think I had that one as well. I don't still have it. I wish I still had it. That Game Boy Color, that's like the one that everybody had, was the transparent purple one. I think everybody, like this kind of purple that's like right here. Everybody had that one. So pretty cool to see there as well. We have links where you can go ahead and pick that up if you do have a Steam Deck. And cops are coming for me. I don't know if you guys can hear that. Flying down the road. Actually, it sounds like the fire department. I don't know. Coming up next week, I am taking a look at a keyboard from G-Skill. 65% mechanical keyboard that has the pudding switches.
Yeah.
You don't like these. These look so good, though.
I used to think I liked them, and the more I see them, I'm like, nah, not my style.
Have you seen them in person?
Yeah.
You still don't like them?
No. Nope.
They look so good. I think the version that we have has the black top cap, but if you get it with the white, it looks excellent.
Okay. That might look all right.
Yeah, so this is a 65% keyboard. Has that same kind of style, too, with the little dial here at the top. Cooler
Master.
Yeah, so very, very similar design. First keyboard I think we reviewed from G-Skill, so I'll be excited to tell you guys about that coming up. And then also I'm taking a look at a CPU cooler. So this is an air cooler from Scythe. It is their Kotetsu. Is that how you would say that?
Kotetsu?
Kotetsu? Kotetsu Mark III. Single tower, single fan cooler, tower cooler, multiple heat pipes. I'll be telling you guys about that as well. Not overly large. Obviously, you can see you have the RAM clearance there too. So, yeah, I'll be telling you guys about that next week as well. So, we did start the podcast kind of haphazardly, I'd say. But I didn't ask you, how was your 4th of July?
That's good. That's good. It was hot during the day, and then it did cool off more than I thought it was going to last night. So that was good. But yeah, no, nice. Everybody made it out with no injuries or anything like that. So it was good. Cul-de-sac, you know, everybody's out there just lighting their stuff off, and
nice. It's
good. How about you?
I didn't do anything really on the 4th. I went to a beach bonfire thing on that Sunday, which was a lot of fun. Got in the water. It's cold, but
it's summer. Yeah, why is it cold?
It's the Pacific Ocean. It's cold. Okay. But yeah, no, it was good to get out of the house and get some, you know, see friends and do all that. Yeah. And there was a bunch of fireworks going off last night. Some like down this way, some down that way. And I got to see some of them. I was out on my balcony and got to see some of them. But yeah,
cool.
You know, one of the biggest fireworks mishaps happened in San Diego.
Really?
So, and I saw this on Twitter yesterday. So like, you know, the big fireworks celebration, right? They accidentally set off all the fireworks at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
On the ground.
So oh, this is the 2012?
Yeah. You can watch it, I guess. But yeah, I didn't know that. And then I saw that on, I think it was on Twitter, and they just all went off at like entire fireworks display went off at once, which is kind of funny. But yeah, that was pretty much it for 4th of July. You know, happy birthday, America. But yeah, anything else tech related? Do you do anything tech related?
I don't think so. No. No.
You didn't do any droning or anything?
No droning. Used my Osmo action a little bit.
Yeah, Ryan blew up some comic
books. Didn't get blown up by any fireworks, so that was good. Got a little dirty, but that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same. I used my GoPro at the beach, just recorded some stuff. I'll talk about it next week. I got a really cool selfie stick tripod thing. For my GoPro, which is actually it's really, really nice compared to some of the other ones that I've used. Maybe we'll talk, if I remember, we'll talk about it next week, but that's pretty much it. We didn't talk about Steam Summer Sales currently going on.
It is.
And Steam Decks are actually on sale that I saw. Not by like a lot, but they're on, you know, sale.
Okay.
I didn't really look at any of the games that are on the Steam summer sale, but it is going on for you guys if you want to check it out. But, you know, talking about Steam and games, we are going to be playing some Apex Legends. Ryan will, of course, have that stream up over on Twitch. Man, there goes the police again. I'm going to have to go see what's going on around here. The police, like, never come around.
Yeah, stick your head out the window, yeah. 20% off of Steam Decks, he says.
Yeah, 20% off Steam Decks. That's not bad. No. And he said nothing mind-blowingly good on the summer sale. Yeah, I remember the summer sale being like really, really good, and I feel like in the current, I don't know, the past couple years, it's kind of been toned down a little bit. But 20% off Steam Deck's not bad if you were looking at it, weren't sure. But I don't know, with the ROG Ally, I think I would still maybe get that. Bless you.
Ooh,
Ryan was sneezing. Like I said, we are going to be over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan, of course, will have that stream up. He is the game streamer. So we'll see. I'm excited to play some video games. It's been like a long week and kind of just, it's been like disjointed because of the holiday and stuff. And
yeah.
So it'd be nice to, you know, play some Apex and just have some fun. So, like I said, we will be over there, guys. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Taltosh in the chat. And, of course, everybody. There were some other people in the chat as well. Greg and, some other people in the chat that I didn't get to shout out. But thanks, everybody, for coming out. And we will see everybody next week.